And now, for...
I'm watching movies.
We're a movie show. Classic pick of the week. And let's start off with our box office.
What you watching?
I'm watching movies.
We're a movie show.
I am Phil.
I am Joe Merle. To Those Movie Guys Podcast. Hello and welcome back to Those Movie Guys Podcast. And you may be asking yourself, what? Joe, what's going on right now? This is a weird day of the week. This isn't your normal podcast release day. Well, this isn't the normal podcast, folks. This is a very special episode. Anyone who's listened to our show for any amount of time knows that Phil and myself have a deep love and respect for anyone who goes out there and makes a film. We can enjoy them, and it's easy to sit back on your couch and just kind of go, an hour and a half here. But the amount of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into making these types of things oftentimes is overlooked. And any opportunity we get to sit down and talk to a filmmaker kind of about that process, what that looks like, tell me about how you made a movie. That's incredible. That stuff's amazing to begin with. But I'm going to blow your mind right now because I received a message from a gentleman way, way down in Australia. And I read through, it's not the first type of message that I've received like this. And he said, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's some links to some stuff. Check this out. Oh, and by the way, I'm legally blind. And that caught me so off guard. The idea of someone who is legally blind editing, starring in a film that I got to say, I got the chance to watch the most recent one and it was absolutely fantastic. But this, I don't want to say it filled me with hope, but just so much. I was so impressed by this idea that somebody can overcome something and see an obstacle and say, I'm going to do that regardless. I'm going to go out there and do what I want to do, what I'm passionate about. So without further ado, because I'll sit here and ramble all day about how amazing you are. Nobody will ever even know who you are because I'll be sitting here talking. But I have with us on the show today, Gao, who is the founder of Beer Nuts Productions. You guys have been around since 2006, so 11 years now, almost 12 years, which is incredible. But Gao, welcome to Those Movie Guys Podcast.
Thanks very much, mate. And by the way, it's Goff. Like cough, but with a G.
Oh, see, that's our bad Yankee accents. I just can't. We screw everything up.
And also, mate, feel free to keep piling on the praise. I'm more than happy to sit here and listen to it.
Oh, it's so Goff. I've got it from here on out. Before we really get into the filmmaking side of stuff, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from?
Sure, absolutely. So like you said, I'm from a place called the Gold Coast, which is sort of the Florida of Australia. So it's summertime right now, so we're sweating our balls off down here. But like you said, I started up Beer Nuts Productions, my production company, back in 2006. And since then, I've gone on to make 14 films. We've done 8 audio downloads, and also I've written 5 books as well. So we've been quite busy in the last 11 years trying to entertain the good folks out there.
Which is absolutely incredible. And I know in reading through some of your backstory, you tried your hand at comedy for a while, and it looks like you spent some time over here in the States, all over the world from what it looked like. But what was it that drew you to film and wanting to produce films?
Well, filmmaking has always been what I wanted to do. So even when I was a kid, I was, writing sketches and writing plays and writing scripts and things like that, even as a young kid. And then obviously I kept doing that I did stand-up comedy for a while and was writing and performing that. And also I worked in radio as well. And then eventually, like you kind of said in the intro, I was looking for backing and funding for my films. And because of my disability, people just didn't want to know. So eventually I kind of got jack of it and I was like, well, you know what? I just got to do it myself. There's only one way to get this done, and that's to do it myself. So that's when I started up Beer Nuts Productions and got underway. But yeah, filmmaking has always been what I wanted to do ever since I was a little kid, just telling stories. It's a really fun thing to do.
And it is an amazing medium. I absolutely love the idea of telling stories through film. Now, how do you, as a blind person, how do you even approach making a film? I mean, and forgive me if my questions seem a little bit elementary, but, you know, being a very visual medium, I'm insanely curious as to how you approach making a film.
Well, firstly, I've got to correct you just slightly because, see, people misunderstand film a little bit because they think because they sit and they watch that it is purely a visual medium, but it's not really, because if a great film can awaken all your senses. So if you take horror as a good example, if the thing that makes you jump in a horror film isn't necessarily what you see, it's what you don't see. You know, it's the sound, it's the music, it's the knife along the glass, it's the footsteps on the creaking timber. You know, it's the haunting music, you know, and a great comedy film. I mean, I think of somebody like Quentin Tarantino with Pulp Fiction. I mean, everybody's seen Pulp Fiction. The dialogue in that film is spectacular. You know, you don't need your eyesight to appreciate just incredibly written dialogue and wonderful acting of that wonderful dialogue, you know. So it's not necessarily a completely visual medium. And so to answer your other question, I write the scripts. So I know what I want my film to look and sound and feel like. So it's just then a matter of me being able to communicate that clearly to the director of photography, the actors and the other crew members to make sure they understand exactly what I'm after. And then, of course, there's a lot of trust that goes into that as well to make sure they are actually doing what it is I want them to do. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
I can't have anybody going rogue on me and just going and doing their own thing. I had for our second film that I made, I had a cameraman that decided that he didn't like my direction so much and was just filming his thing. So when it got time to edit, it was a real mess, you know. So he only lasted the one film because, I mean, I just can't have that kind of stuff. Everybody needs to be 100% on board and knowing what I want exactly so that it makes the piece what it's supposed to be.
Absolutely. And now, how many people do you have that normally work with you? Do you have a core group of people who you tend to take on set with you?
Yeah. So we've got a basic crew that I work with. And then as far as if I need anybody special, like any specialized crew member, then I'll outsource and I'll find somebody that fits that part. And when it comes to the actors, same deal. So I've done, like I said, I've done 14 films now, so I've got a good core of actors that I know that work around this area. So, but if I need somebody else that doesn't suit that part, you know, then I have to, you know, audition and do all that sort of stuff, go through the agents and audition, see who I can find. But I do tend to stick with a core group of people because I figure, you know, if they do a good job for me, it's silly to go out and try and find somebody else. So, I try and stick with the people that do a wonderful job, which, you know, hopefully makes the films really great too.
Right. Absolutely. And now you mentioned somebody like a Quentin Tarantino. And so for you, you know, especially on the dialogue side, and we'll get into the environment, the real truth, because some of that dialogue was amazing. I got to say, it was just fantastic.
Thank you very much.
But who inspired you, you know, throughout the years? Who are some of your favorite writers, directors? Who are the people that kind of helped build you up to be who you are as a writer?
Well, when I was young, like, I'm a comedy nerd. There's no doubt about that. So when I was young, while other kids were out doing, you know, riding their bikes and climbing trees and stuff, I was watching like Monty Python and old British comedians and that kind of stuff, which probably wasn't really suitable for an 8-year-old child to be doing, but that's what I was doing. So I was watching old British comedians and stuff like that when I was a kid. And then when I got a bit older, there's a couple of really great Australian comedians and TV shows over here, like The D Generation were a group of comedians in the early 90s, well, late 80s and then into the early 90s. And so if anybody jumps on YouTube and just types in The D Generation, they'll see some incredible sketches. I mean, they had no money to make them, but they're just so funny. They were a really funny group of comedians. So I really enjoyed that sort of stuff. And then as I got older and sort of got into film more, I mean, I know he's a bit of a controversial figure, but Woody Allen, I think his scripts are so well written. They're just the dialogue in them is really, really brilliant. I mean, think of him what you may as a person, but his work, I mean, is just incredible. And then, yeah, Tarantino, I really love. Because I can't see, I spend a lifetime listening to people speak. So therefore, when it comes to a film, I need really solid dialogue because that's my main thing. So just going back to the filmmaking process, for example, when I'm directing my actors, I've got Simon who sort of acts like my sighted guide, and he makes sure that the actors are giving me the facial expressions that I want. But as far as tones and inflections and making sure the dialogue is delivered how I want it delivered, I'm really, really clear with that. So rehearsals with my actors, I think I drive them kind of insane because I'll stop them all the time and say, no, we need this kind of a tone or this kind of an inflection on that word and that kind of stuff to make sure that that sort of stuff is really, really believable. And then Simon will just make sure they're giving me the facial expressions that I want. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. So let's talk about some of your films. So you were kind enough to shoot me over a link to your most recent film, The Environment, The Real Truth. And I will say that when I went into it, I didn't read anything on it. I like to go in blind if I ever have the opportunity. Go in blind, no pun intended. I like to, but I like to go in with very limited knowledge of a film because I feel like the more you read about it, or the more you know about it beforehand, it tends to take something away from it. You maybe have some preconceived notions about what to expect. So to be able to go in, I knew nothing about this thing. And it comes in at what, just under 30 minutes, right around there?
Yeah. Well, I always try to make my films around that sort of 25 minute to 30 minute length so that, people get a good, a good dose of entertainment. You know, I don't like, I've seen, this is sort of off topic a little bit, but I've seen short films that go for like 3 or 4 minutes and you're like, oh man, I was just getting into that. You know what I mean? So right. I want to make sure that, you know, I can really, really delve deep into whatever subject I'm playing with and really give the characters some life about them. So, yeah, I always try and make my work about the 25-minute mark for the short films.
And that term you just used there, give them something to play with, and it caught me so off guard how funny this was. When it first opened up, I honestly didn't know, and I was like, oh, it's going to be a good little, short film about the environment and everything that's going on. And then within the first, few minutes of the film, you're standing there with no pants on. And from that moment on, I was like, oh, I get it. And the joke just landed every single time that you put that joke out there. And I think that's what really good comedy does well. And like you said, the writing and nobody breaking character, like it was just beautifully executed from start to finish. And in the world we live in, the digital age, video on demand, I feel like we get so many very serious documentaries all the time. You can go on Netflix or Hulu, Amazon, iTunes, doesn't matter. And everything's super serious. And I believe that has a place and a time. But this was such a great breath of fresh air. It was just like, you know what? The world is a good, it's a funny place. We need to be able to take things seriously, but at the same time, have fun with it. So where did this idea even come from? How did you birth this creation, the environment, the real truth?
Well, I love mockumentary. So again, going back to the D Generation, who I was talking about earlier, they used to have a 1-hour television show in Australia called The Late Show. And on every probably second or third episode, they do like a 10-minute little mockumentary where one of their better ones is about a fake Australian filmmaker and how he thinks he's all serious, but really he's making like adult blue movies and he's trying to be, trying to get people to take him all seriously and stuff. It's very, very clever, really well done. And so watching that again as a 10-year-old, which I probably shouldn't have been watching, but watching that as a 10-year-old, I really love that style of taking a subject and just ripping it to shreds, And
right.
It's also important when you see people Stephen Colbert is probably a good example. I always like people that give both sides a whack, You can't be biased,
Right.
If you're going to have a crack at one side, you've got to have a crack at all sides, So it's important to me. That's why with the environment, the real truth, and I did one on drugs, the war on drugs, which is a similar kind of theme. And also I've done one on the pornography industry as well, which is, again, a similar kind of theme. It's always important that every side gets their equal share of piss taken out of them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Yes. So with the environment, I needed to make sure that I had, you know, we've got a park ranger that I talked to. We've got a couple of different scientists, and we've also got a conservationist. So it was important that, you know, I had a nice broad range of people to sort of chat to, and then I can give them, you know, I give them facts, but then, you know, just distort them with nonsense. You know what I mean?
The conservationist might have been my favorite when he with the bit with the oven. And that was the goal, Mom. Leave me alone. I would say the conservationist, the scientist, again, all of it was just. And I'm excited to see the other stuff that you've done. Like, as I was looking through your IMDb page, the war on drugs and the look inside, just both. After seeing this, I now want to see everything else.
That's great. That's obviously the goal. I want people to come back and enjoy my work. So absolutely, that's the goal. If they watch one and they love it, then obviously, yeah, go back. I mean, the war on drugs is the same kind of theme as the environment. We just take the nonsense that is the war on drugs and just rip it apart. So in that one, I speak to, you know, a police officer. I speak to a drug dealer. I speak to a guy who's on drugs. I speak to I speak to a media, so a journalist who covers the war on drugs. And who's the other? There's one more that I speak to, but it escapes me at the minute. The type of profession, but so I speak to quite a few. Again, same sort of deal where I just sort of rip the subject of the drugs apart, really, from all angles. You know, so yeah.
And how do you – so if the people listening to our show wanted to find your work, what's the best way for people to find these films?
Yeah, absolutely. Just jump on the Beer Nuts Productions website. So that's beernutsproductions.com. And on beernutsproductions.com, you'll find all the films, all the audio downloads, all the books. And go there and you can just download them directly off the website. Easy as that.
Beautiful. And now what is your – so what's next for you? Like, is there an, I don't want to say an end goal, because I think as human beings, we should always be on this journey of growth all the time. But where do you see, maybe a better question. Where do you see Beer Nuts Productions 5 years from now? Where would you like to see it 5 years from now?
Well, to answer your first question, the end goal is that there's 7 billion people on this earth. And I want all 7 billion to watch a film made by Beer Nuts Productions. And the day that that happens, they can put me in the ground. Right. So I'm happy then. So my goal is to entertain as many people as I possibly can, because that's what I enjoy doing. That's what I love doing. I think that's what I'm good at doing. So, yeah, I just want to entertain folks. So in 5 years' time, I hope that I've made another bunch of films that people are enjoying and the word's getting out and spreading and people are – yeah, really enjoying my work and what I've got to offer. The next film that we're going to be doing is, again, it's going to be another – I sort of get into obsessive about a particular style of filmmaking. So the next one's going to be another mockumentary. This one's going to be all about the fitness industry, though. So this time I'm going to tear the fitness industry apart. So we've done porn, we've done drugs, we've done the environment, and now we're going to do the fitness industry. Because it's always good to choose a subject – that you know, has a lot of different angles to it, and just rip it apart. You know, it's just a lot of fun to do.
And so, how long do you guys normally spend? Like, let's say for the environment, what did that production look like as far as a timeline? You know, is this something you do relatively quickly, or is it a little bit more spaced out?
It usually takes about 12 weeks. So, yeah, the first thing I do is cast. So, I've written the script. And so then I cast the actors that I need, so they've got plenty of time. Because as you saw, so I give, I tend to like giving my actors nice big monster monologues to learn.
Yes.
So some of them really hate me. They're like, "Oh my God, Goff, really? I have to do this?" I'm like, "Yeah, you have to do that." So so I give them as much time as I can to learn the gear, And then it's about, you know, finding locations, making sure the crew know what they're doing, if we need any artwork. I mean, with the environment, as you saw, we had, the hammerhead polar bear that I needed to get.
That was great.
I needed to get done up. Actually, with that particular image, you've seen it, so you might appreciate this. Ilya, that did the artwork for that film, she sent over a little copy of the hammerhead polar bear, and I'm like, I said to her, I like it, but I want more cuddly but vicious. Can we add some like bloody fangs? And so she said, sure, we can do that. So now we made it more cuddly but vicious, which I like. So, I get the artist in or whoever else I might need to do some stuff, then rehearse with the actors, make sure the crew are on top of everything, and then we get into shooting. So the shooting part of it's really quick. I mean, we shot all of that in one day because I don't have a lot of budget. So we shot that entire film in a day.
Wow.
And then, I'll edit it with Simon. We'll edit it together and then, get it up on the website as quickly as we can. So, yeah, there's a quick turnaround. The cast and crew are always really pleased because usually, as you would know, once a film gets edited, it usually sits on a shelf for a while and, you know, because there's either they put it into festivals or they've got to wait for it to get its turn for distribution. They've got to do marketing, all that sort of stuff. But it's a little bit different with me. I want it up on the website as quickly as I can because I want people downloading it as quickly as I can. So, yeah, it is a little bit different in regards to the way I do things. But that's pretty much the process. So, yeah. But as you can see, when it comes time for filming, we can't fuck about. We got no time. So we got to get in there and do it. So, yeah.
Right. And now do you have, like for us, do you need to go through the process of getting permits to film in public locations or do you just go out and guerrilla film it up?
Yeah, no, well, for this one, the only one we needed was the brewery because we actually filmed in a brewery. And so I contacted, I don't know, for any of you listeners that might be into surfing by any chance as a sport, the Australian world champion, Mick Fanning, and a friend of his, Joel Parkinson, and another pro surfer who live on the Gold Coast, they've got, you know, they've won a bunch of titles. So they were like, oh, what do we do with all of our money? We'll start our own brewery. So they started Bolter Brewing Company, and which is reasonably close to where I live. And so when we needed a brewery, I asked them, can we film at the brewery? And they're like, yeah, sure, man, that's not a problem at all. So they were really cool because usually it can be really tricky to find locations, you know, because of our lack of resources and money, we sort of have to be pretty careful where we film. You know, we can't be blowing all of our money on locations. So they were really cool. They even gave us a couple of beers after we'd finished shooting the scene. So they were really cool. But and it worked really well in the brewery too. They were it turned out to be a really fun location. I'd be happy to use them again because it was a cool location to use. But so for that one, that was the only one that we needed permission for. But yeah, absolutely. Like if we were going to spend, if we needed to get on a street or something like that, then yeah, we'd have to get council permits and stuff like that. And that can end up being quite expensive. They're not cheap to get over here. So so we try and avoid as much as we can. So those scenes, for example, that you saw on the beach with the conservationist, we didn't get any permits for that. We just sort of went there, did it as quick as we could, and got out, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, we try and avoid expenses wherever we can, you know?
And that's, now, does it influence your writing at all? Because I thought that was one of the funniest jokes in the film was, I'm a scientist, this is a science lab, but we don't have any money, so it's also a brewery. Does that influence the way you write and say, okay, you go into it already knowing I'm a little bit restricted. How do I tell the best story I can while staying within my budget?
Yeah, that's exactly what you just said is exactly right. So when I'm writing something, it is in the back of my mind. Well, you know, we can't have, you know, 1,000 extras or we can't shoot at a castle or something like that because we just don't have the funding to do something like that. So I do have to, when I'm writing it, I do have to be a little bit careful. So for that scene was originally set in a science lab, but I couldn't get one. The places that I contacted were being jerks and wouldn't let me film there. So I had to go back to the script. I thought, well, that's where I was thinking, well, what looks like a science lab? And I'm like, well, a brewery kind of looks like a science lab because right. essentially it is a science lab. So I was like, well, where do I know a brewery? And then I remember Bolter. So I'm like, well, I'll see if those guys are cool. And they were super cool. So, yeah, we just I just sort of tweaked the script a little bit because, yeah, originally that was set in a science lab. But you know what? I think it actually works better this way. So I think sometimes – you know, fate or the universe or whatever you want sort of conspires to help you a little bit with things like that. So I think it actually worked better that we didn't get a science lab and we had to use a brewery. I think it made the joke work better.
That joke was so good. I watched it twice after you had sent it over just because I wanted to make sure that I kind of got a good feel for the thing as a whole. And man, I can't encourage people enough to check this stuff out. You've got to give this stuff a watch because it's just absolutely fantastic from what I've seen. And I'm very excited to go back and watch everything else. I'm also very interested, always been real curious about the creative process and specifically writing. You know, I've read many books on the subject, heard many people talk about, well, I block aside this time every day that I sit down and write no matter what, or I wait till something comes to me. So for you, Goff, what does that process look like? Do you have an idea and just start going, or how do you, you know, get pen to paper or fingertips to keys and make something like this happen?
Yeah, well, I think it's a mistake to try and force it. So the idea of putting aside like an hour a day to write, I think is a mistake because then you're sort of forcing when you're not feeling creative. I mean, if you're not in a creative good mood, then what you're going to write isn't going to be very good, I don't think. So I wait till like I'll think of what's a good for the environment's a good example. So with that one, I was like, well, what is a good subject that has many different angles? And so I went through a few in my mind. I thought, well, the environment does. So then I'm thinking, well, what characters would I be able to talk to? So I'm like, well, I could talk to a couple of scientists if I make them different, which hopefully I did. And then you've got a park ranger who's got a vested interest in the environment. You've got a conservationist who obviously has an interest in the environment. So yeah, and then we can add another sort of crazy character like the mother that we added in there. So you can sort of add her in there in the mix as well. So we've got a nice group of characters. So then it's just about bringing them to life then. So then it's about I sort of get my basic couple of key points for each scene. I write them down and then I just expand and edit and expand and edit until I've got something that I'm really happy with. But yeah, it's not about forcing myself to write something. It's so when it's time to write something, I wait till I'm feeling in the mood to write. And then, like I say, pick the subject or pick what I want to say. Cause I mean, there's other films on the website that aren't mockumentaries that, are still comedy based. I mean, The Advertising Meeting, for example, is a comedy film I did where I was like, well, how about we set something in an office and just have it turn into the biggest clusterfuck of all time? what could that be? And I thought, well, if we have an advertising agency and it's just like, you know, while they're trying to get this pitch out for this particular, it was Auntie Beryl's Burger Hut they're trying to do a pitch for, what sort of secrets can come out around that table between these messed up group of people? And so that's where that one sort of came from. So it's about sort of picking an idea and really sort of running with it and see if it's got some legs, yeah.
And do you watch, I assume you watch a lot of films, and... Yeah. As far as comedians, the few that I have met over the years tend to be pretty in tune with current events and things like the news. Do you ever pull ideas from, you know, those outlets as well?
Well, not really. I find the news too depressing. I try and avoid it if I can. I mean, people are always killing people and doing things like that. I can't be bothered with that sort of stuff. I'm here to, you know, entertain people, you know, so... I don't really. I do. I enjoy watching things like I say, Colbert and Samantha Bee. I really like. I think she's terrific, and also John Oliver. I really like. So I enjoy those sort of satirical news sort of shows. Right. I really find them quite funny. But But yeah, no, I guess there's a political angle to a couple of my films. I mean, the environment sort of has a bit of a political slant to it. But like I say, hopefully I gave both sides of politics a good whack in that one. And the war on drugs, I guess that's a reasonably political one as well, being as it's all about drugs and I'm, you know, interviewing fake police officers and whatnot. So I guess there is slightly, sometimes there is a bit of a political leaning to what I do, but I don't know. My number one goal is to entertain people. So my rule, when I'm writing, my rule is that the joke is king. So the joke has to be there first and then anything can come second, but the joke is king. Joke always has to come first.
Oh, nice. I like it. Yeah, no, that's, and so where can our listeners, I know you gave the website one more, if you want to give that one more time, then maybe any social media links, anywhere where people can find you and chat with you?
Absolutely. So yeah, just social media wise, if people get on YouTube, they can type in Beer Nuts Productions and I'll come up. Facebook, Beer Nuts Productions and I'll come up. Twitter, Instagram. So yeah, they're the main four that I'm on. So yeah, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, Beer Nuts Productions. And just like, subscribe, follow, all that kind of crap. And then obviously, yeah, beernutsproductions.com is the home of where you get all the stuff. So if you just jump on beernutsproductions.com, there's some free clips on there as well that you can watch, as well as the actual films and stuff themselves. And so, yeah, there's plenty on there that hopefully will entertain people. So, yeah, beernutsproductions.com is the place to be.
Beautiful. And I know you had two films in 2017. Are you shooting for two or maybe even three? What's 2018 looking like for you?
Well, we're doing in January, which is now, we're doing a audio download. So that's going to be, basically, that's going to be, I'm interviewing, again, I've got an interviewing kind of theme going on at the moment. Not all of my work is like that. It's just, I get in a mood and I just sort of hammer it into the ground. I'm interviewing 14, like a chat show kind of a setup where I interview 14 different weirdos, essentially. So, like, I've got a cult leader I'm going to interview. And I've got the world champion, the world blinking champion. I'm interviewing him. And I'm interviewing I'm interviewing the last surviving woman on the planet. So she's quite interesting. And then there's 14 different people that I'm interviewing on that one. And then, yeah, then we've got the fitness mockumentary, that film coming up. And hopefully, with a bit of luck, we might be able to squeeze in one or two more films as well towards the end of next year, depending on, of course, sales of the current films. Because that's kind of my business model, is the profits of the last film go into making the next film. So the more people that jump on the website and download the work, the more work I can punch out. So everybody wins. I can entertain people and make my films. So that's why, obviously, I'm big on encouraging people to hit up beernutsproductions.com and get busy downloading.
Absolutely. And I will resonate that statement. And I definitely think people should, man. Just get on there. Check it out. You've got to see this stuff. It's again, just a breath of fresh air, unlike anything you've seen in a while. I guarantee you that. And if you like to laugh, and who doesn't like to laugh? Especially, you said, the world we live in, for the most part, is just constant negative shit being put out everywhere. It's great that we have a place we can go, get some chuckles in. And is there anything else before we wrap up that you wanted to say?
No, just please, people, just go and check out beernutsproductions.com. And I'm very grateful for you having me on the podcast and letting me share my story and my work with folks, because, I mean, it's always difficult to get press, so I'm very grateful for your time and having me on and talking me up like you have done. It's very kind of you.
No, it was 100% my pleasure and my honor. I've been, you know, I've done some work behind the camera myself. It's always just been a labor of love. I just love the medium so much, and your story is, and it's great that it's inspiring, but you're also putting out great content, because you could be very inspiring. But
I'm with you 100%. I mean, if the content's no good, then I wouldn't put it up there. I mean, there's no point. I mean, you know, because, so that's the whole point. I mean, I've got the backstory of not being able to see, but at the end of the day, if the work's no good, then nobody cares. So you got to make sure that what you produce is quality at all times.
Right. And I will make sure that our, yes, check it out. Cause you're right. The quality is there, people. And I'm telling you, get out there, beernutsproductions.com. Give this stuff a watch. You've got to see it. I promise you will not be disappointed. And Goff, it was great to talk to you, man. It was, thank you so much for coming on the show, and hopefully
I appreciate your time very much so.
Yeah. And we will definitely be in touch. And as you have more stuff released, and I'll make sure that, your info is in all of our show notes, the links where everybody can find, your Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff, and the link directly to the website. Sir, thank you again. Just cannot thank you enough. And for those movie guys, I am Joe Merle, and this was Goff, man. It was amazing. And we will be back at our normal time next week. Thank you again.
Thanks, buddy.
It was a little too cold for the snow to melt, a little too warm for the water to freeze. Pain and anger were all I felt. The leaves are falling as they met the breeze. It was cold and wet with December coming. I shouted out.